Dennis Stanley joining you tonight on WGN Radio, filling in tonight for Amy Guth, who will be with you guys next week. Producer Tom Hush is with me as well. Tom, you have no more, and I say this with a catch in my throat and tears in my eyes, no more Blackhawks games to interrupt.
That is true.
So we will have you with Amy throughout the rest of the summer until hockey comes back to us, which is too far away.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
When October feels like years from now.
Years. However, we have a great conversation for everyone tonight. We are taking your calls and your texts at the same number, 312-981-7200. And we have a question that's going to kind of be the overlying theme of tonight's program, which is Chicago's contribution to theater and entertainment. And what do you think is the biggest contribution Chicago has made? It can be anything from an artist, an actor, a comedian, a director, a cityscape. There could be, you know, there anything, really.
A million different answers to that question.
There could be. And that's why we're very excited to see your answers, both in text or on the phone, 312-981-7200. Speaking of on the phone, Johnny, I saw that you had called in, and I was so excited I wanted to grab the phone because I love talking with you. But we were in news, and that's not how that works. So I had to wait. I exhibited patience. But Johnny Olesinski, formerly of the Chicago Tribune, you were a theater writer, and now you're an entertainment writer for the New York Post. And before we get started, and I did not pose this question to you prior, so I'm catching you off guard, what would you think would be Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment?
That's such a mean beginning, but I'm so grateful that our conversation isn't about the Blackhawks, because I wouldn't be able to add anything to that.
I could carry us. That would be okay. I know enough.
It's kind of a somber note to begin on, but so I think Chicago's greatest contribution to entertainment is Steppenwolf Theater.
Yep. Who just lost. Yeah.
Right, and many of those contributions were made by their now late artistic director, Martha Levy, who died this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, under her stewardship, we got August Osage County, kind of the best of Tracy Letts. We were seeing the great actress Laurie Metcalf do plays like Detroit, and it's just, and the revival of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf that, you know, was amazing on Broadway. I think that theater embodies the scrappy, hard scrabble tone of Chicago that the city is so proud of, and it exports it brilliantly.
And as far as, you mentioned Laurie Metcalf, but we also have John Malkovich, Gary Sinise, I believe, with Steppenwolf.
Jeff Perry.
Yes.
So it even Steppenwolf extends into Scandal and Grey's Anatomy as well.
Oh, Shondaland, we had to go there so early. We were trying to elevate, Johnny. We were trying to elevate today.
We failed.
These 2 hours, and we went straight to Shondaland. Now, that said, and Steppenwolf is, I don't necessarily think it's an obvious choice, but I think it's a very solid choice. And winner of local Tony Awards for local theaters, Tony Awards for local theaters. Let me say that correctly. But the Tony Awards are fast approaching, and you and I can talk for hours on this. So let's start. We've got two. We are not going to talk for the full 2 hours on the approaching Tony Awards, but they will be happening June 11th at Radio City Music Hall.
The host has
just been announced this past week as Kevin Spacey. You and I texted back and forth about this. In my opinion, Neil Patrick Harris should be given whatever sum of money he asks for a lifetime contract to always host that. I feel like his are incredible. How do you feel Kevin Spacey's going to do?
Well, Hannah, first, you're basing that on the premise that the Tony Awards have any vast sum of money to spend on anybody. And they really don't. The only reason, and I'm very grateful for it, because it's, you know, an audience of 7 million is crazy for Broadway. But the only reason CBS does this year after year is because Les Moonves, head of CBS, loves Broadway, as well he should.
Yes.
I think Kevin Spacey will be fine. So what's great about this year? So right, last year it was all about Hamilton.
It was.
So
I hadn't heard that.
Right. It was some show. It didn't really matter who hosted it or how they did, even though James Corden did a fine job. People weren't really tuning in for James Corden. They were tuning in to see Hamilton do Hamilton things. But this year, I think this year might be the most exciting Tony Awards broadcast in a decade.
All right, let's jump right in. Why?
You're going to see performances from Bette Midler.
Who is
from
doing
Glenn Close?
Yes,
Bette Midler in Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly, thank you.
A historic pairing. She is perfect. I've just never seen a musical comedy performance sound like a rock concert. You know.
Well, and I saw Carol Channing in Hello Dolly. I was younger, but I still remember knowing how big that was. She owned the room. Period. And I was maybe like 8 or 9. It was at the Erie Crown Theater. So I'm excited to see Bette Midler in it.
I think everybody should. That's the one show where when people ask me, you know, because theater tickets are expensive, and mm-hmm. I get that. But many people have asked me, you know, is this worth my $200? And I don't hesitate to say, yes, it is. Every dollar. I will probably pay $200 to go again. The difference between her and Carol Channing, I think, admittedly, I did not get to see Carol Channing. But in all the video footage I've seen of her and even listening to the cast recordings with her, she was a little more...
Don't say pitchy.
No, stoic. She was sort of stoic and... She maybe embodied that time period a little more adherently, whereas Bette Midler is sexy and, you know, and saucy, and she has still her sort of Vegas concert lounge persona that she brings into it, which is really fun. And it's amazing how much chemistry there is between David Hyde Pierce, who is gay, and Bette Midler, who is 71, and they kind of like burn it up a bit.
Well, that's really interesting because he obviously is an outstanding actor. And then we've just learned that Barry Manilow has come out as gay, and Bette Midler and Barry Manilow performed for many, many years together. So this is not uncharted territory.
In a gay bathhouse.
Yes. Yes. All right. So what we're going to do, because you have teased us with Bette Midler and this being, in your prediction, the most powerful broadcast of the Tonys for years, we are going to talk more about this when we come back. Hannah Stanley. Now, you would think I could say my own name.
I thought so.
You said my name perfectly, and it's much harder.
It is, but I practice it a lot. I will say this. Could you just edit that out before this airs? That'd be great, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on WGN Radio. More after this.
I have always been a woman who arranges things for the pleasure and the profit it derives. I have always been a woman who arranges things.
Oh, Johnny. How did we forget Babs in the role? Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on the Saturday Night Special in place of the ever lovely and fiercely intelligent Amy Guth. Tonight's topic is Chicago's influence on theater and entertainment. And I pose the question again to you. 312-981-7200. You can text or call in with your contribution and your answer. But what do you think is Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment? So many options. So many options. Johnny Olesinski, writer, entertainment writer for the New York Post. Chicago, Chicago lad. In the big city. You left us as a Chicago Tribune theater writer, and I still bring you back to your roots. I pull you back in.
But Chicago is a big city, too. And, you know, Chicago is also, you know, I was actually thinking about this earlier today. The moniker of the Chicago Tribune Theater Loop used to be Chicago's or the nation's hottest theater city. And sometimes that would grind the gears of people in New York because, of course, it's, you know, New York says they're the hottest theater city. And then London says they are the hottest theater city. But, you know, Chicago really has a lot to be proud of in terms of what it exports and what draws people there. I remember when do you remember The Iceman Cometh when
of
it was
course.
At the Goodman?
Yes.
So that was a show that had, and it did eventually come to New York a while later, but they had no announcements about moving it. It seems like it would never move to Broadway, and it didn't. So you had people coming from, I think, something like 80 countries. It was amazing seeing the Goodman statistics of people flying. Chicago was a destination. They had to go there to see that show.
Well, and it holds true that Chicago is typically second for getting productions such as Hamilton. When they when they leave the nest, they come here because we have the stages to put these on. Los Angeles, nothing. They're way into their movies. It's always Chicago and New York for theater. And then mostly I've been seeing that we see more plays in their pre-Broadway engagements than other cities do. They stage them here first and work out kinks.
Right. Well, part of that is, I think it was Governor Quinn who gave tax breaks to Broadway producers looking to try out their shows in the city before moving to Broadway. So that's why you get, you know, Spamalot and Kinky Boots and The Producers and Amazing Grace. They're not all hits.
War Paint, which you and I can discuss if you would like or not.
Would you like to? I have a lot to say about War Paint.
I know you are not a huge fan of War Paint, but that is currently on Broadway, also started here, also with the Goodman. Let us talk a little bit more, if you will, about some of the powerful performances we're going to see, because you did say Bette Midler. You did not yet say Glenn Close, and I'm very excited about this performance.
So Glenn Close is bringing back her legendary role as Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, that is the musical version of the Gloria Swanson film about an aging, reclusive Hollywood star who, you know, she was big before the talkies came along in the silent era. And then suddenly she was expected to learn lines, and she, you know, she wasn't really into that. So she just holes up in her mansion with a pet monkey and a butler who's obsessed with her. And then, I mean, if you're not sold by now, then, well, you won't be into it.
If that wasn't written for Glenn Close, I don't know what was. She is a handsome woman, which works perfectly for the former silent movie stars.
It's funny, this role, it's sort of like, in a much more artful way, it's like Ted Neely in Jesus Christ Superstar. I mean, she can play this role for another 20 years, and it'll probably just get better.
Right.
What she's always been known for is, so when this show first started in London in the early 90s, Patti LuPone played the role. And then people kind of, it raised some brows. Of course, Patti LuPone is always good, but she was very young for it. Mm-hmm. And that didn't quite fit the whole aging film star thing. So Andrew Lloyd Webber brought in Glenn Close, breaking contract. But when you're Andrew Lloyd Webber, you have the money to do that. And so what people noted is that Patti LuPone might technically be a better singer than Glenn Close, but you just don't care. She sells every moment. It's, you know, when
she's Glenn Close.
Right. When she sings the song, As If We Never Said Goodbye, where she returns to the film set for the first time, the entire theater of gay men's heads exploded. It was remarkable.
So I have never seen the full production of that, but there was an Andrew Lloyd Webber tribute, and I did see it on stage, but I also saw it when it was on PBS, because, of course, if you want theater on television, you must watch PBS.
Right.
And she sang it there, and my head exploded. I have goosebumps right now when you said the title of that song, because that was the moment where I was like, if this ever comes to Chicago, I have to go see this. This is an amazing, amazing production. So we've got those two. I'm assuming they will both be nominated.
Bette Midler will. Glenn Close cannot be nominated on Tuesday because she was previously nominated and won for playing it in 1994. So they actually have a rule. Weirdly, the Jeff Awards in Chicago, you can, as long as it's been 7 years, you can be nominated however many times. But the Tonys, it's a no-go for her. So she's actually sort of doing it out of generosity in a way. I think she's just happy to be on Broadway again.
Well, you know, it's nice to make money and be paid.
True.
I'm sure she's making some making a little bit more than union scale. The one that I was trying to come in to go to the premiere with you was Bronx Tale. Tell me how this is going to get received.
Bronx Tale is one of a number of dark horses. The part of that is this has been a really great season for new musicals. Previous Broadway seasons, when I've come out here when I was a Tribune employee, the amount of duds I would see is just shocking, because you go to Broadway and you think, oh, well, this is the best theater in the world, right? Not always. Okay. But this year it actually is living up. Whenever my friends come in, they'll see five things and they'll be really happy about all of them. But Bronx Tale is selling really well, kind of unsurprisingly. The critics liked it well enough, but it's just such a kind of a bridge and tunnel show, right? Where people from New Jersey and people from the boroughs want to come see it.
Well, because they know the people it was based on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they grew up with those guys.
Yeah, and it really is a genuine expression of that. It's a good show. It's one of the ones that is not really, breaking new ground, paving a new path. It's just very capable.
It's a little Jersey Boys.
It's a little bit Jersey Boys. I think Jersey Boys was more artful. That was, the guy who directed it, Des McAnuff, is. He hasn't been on Broadway in a bit. He has this way of mixing a rock concert aesthetic, because he loves rock music, into his Broadway shows. So Jersey Boys was, I think, a little sexier looking. This reminded me of In the Heights in a way.
Really?
Kind of with these storefronts and trying to be a really genuine expression of a neighborhood, because that's really the star of that show, is
Absolutely.
The neighborhood, right?
Yeah, and I mean, really, if you're going to emulate someone on Broadway these days, Lin-Manuel Miranda, not a bad guy to emulate.
Not a bad guy to emulate at all.
No. The one that I feel like you might be a little bit partial to, Amelie.
You won't see nominations for Amelie, probably.
Interesting.
It wasn't very well received here. And again, if you're kind of, it's sort of a middle of the road show. And if you're a middle of the road show in a very crowded season, 13 new musicals opened.
Right.
Which is, and there's usually four slots. We might push to a fifth.
Interesting. So Amelie, and the reason I ask that is because you went to high school with Philippa Sue, who
That's
is
right.
the lead, who people would recognize her name because she played Eliza in Hamilton on Broadway.
Right.
She was the original Eliza.
And I'm horribly biased, and so you can't, take my genuine word for it. But of course, she's fabulous, and I love her and everything I see her in.
But she won't be getting a nomination.
Well, when you're up against Bette Midler, Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole, it's sort of a season of legends.
All right. Tell me about Waitress, because this has been getting a lot of press because of Sarah Bareilles.
Well, Waitress is, if she hadn't come into it, I bet it would have closed. I really like it. It's kitschy. The book of it is a bit much. The characters are a bit cartoony. Like you will not leave that show saying, "Well, I liked that one male character." There are really no male characters to like in it. But the music is so great. Sarah Bareilles is a really talented songwriter, and I've heard she's pretty good in the show. I don't know if she can be as good as Jesse Mueller.
Well,
another Chicago
connection
to the world,
See, you're so good when we talk about Chicago theater.
I'm connecting to our themes tonight.
I appreciate that. Speaking of that, I want to remind everybody to keep texting in what you think Chicago's biggest contribution has been to theater or entertainment. This is something, Tom, have you come up with one yet? I'm really debating this.
I think we talked about it a little bit before. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely partial to specifically comedy, but I'll hold off on Who.
Okay.
Because I think Who is important.
Who is very important, and Who is a challenge to come up with.
Exactly.
So, all right, Johnny is going to stay with us. I'm going to get you guys to a quick break and then come back right to get you to the news. Hannah Stanley with currently Johnny Olesinski from the New York Post on WGN Saturday night. Saturday night special. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on the Saturday Night Special for Amy Guth. Tonight's theme is Chicago's influence on theater and entertainment in general. And I ask you, what do you feel has been Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment? You can call in or text your answers, your idea, to 312-981-7200. Tom is sitting with me tonight. Esteemed producer. That's what Guth calls you, yes?
Yeah, that is my official title.
Esteemed producer, Tom Hush. And joining me is esteemed close friend, Johnny Olesinski from the New York Post. You will remember him from the Chicago Theater, and you would always come on with me talking current Chicago theater and things that we had seen in the past. Right now we are talking the Tony Awards, but there are so many Chicago connections. We just referred to Philippa Sue, who was the original Eliza in Hamilton and is now the lead in Amelie. And then Laurie Metcalf. See, I always mispronounce. What is happening? What is happening
know.
With
you? You got to get your tongue
two syllable names.
I know. Hannah Stanley. It's so challenging. Laurie Metcalf is currently on Broadway as well.
She is. Laurie Metcalf is giving a scorching performance in this great new comedy by a writer I love named Lucas Naith, and it's called A Doll's House Part 2. So the premise of it is that, in the original Ibsen play, A Doll's House, there were reverberations around the world because at the end of it, a seemingly content woman left her husband because she was only seemingly content. And all of the original Scandinavians who watched it were furious. How could a married woman walk out on her husband and children? And so what this play does is it takes that awareness and it has her come back 15 years later. And that person who comes back is Laurie Metcalf. And she is hilarious and introspective and wise and, everything that she's been for years. She is great in everything.
Nuanced, yes.
And another person who I love in it is this actress, speaking of Chicago connections, is Jane Houdyshell, who performed in The Humans on Broadway. The play The Humans, of course, began in the North Center neighborhood of Chicago at the American Theater Company.
Interesting.
And it went on to win the Tony for Best Play, and I think it won the Pulitzer as well last year. So, Chicago is just this great place for new work to develop before snobby New Yorkers have at it.
It is workshop central for some of these productions because they can be staged in a city that is not going to just give a pass to anything because, oh, yay, thank goodness there's entertainment here. We have more than 200 theaters here that are staging productions. We opened the show with Music from Chicago. That's currently being staged at Drury Lane. So even in the suburbs, we have high-end performances and new and sometimes controversial performances taking place throughout our city. If you're very successful, that means you're good.
And yeah, absolutely. And a great thing about that Drury Lane production, by the way, which opened last night, I know the critics were at opening, so I'm not sure if their reviews have appeared online or in print yet. But because of that dang tour that's been going around the country for many years, that was on Broadway, and it's still on Broadway, but it started, I think, in 1997 and just keeps on touring. They've put hard restrictions on regional theaters like Drury Lane doing the show, and they've finally loosened their grip. So it's a big deal. There hasn't been a Chicago staging of that show in many years.
My parents actually went and saw it and said it was very, very well done. A little long for their taste, but so is the actual performance because it's accurate. It is the actual staging. So that's very exciting. We can expect then Laurie Metcalf to be nominated for a Tony.
I would say you can expect her to win the Tony.
Really? Who else is she going to be up against, Mr. Johnny Olesinski?
She'll be up against if it's considered a leading role. There's a Jennifer Ely in the play, Oslo. There's a few contenders in the play, Sweat, and the play Indecent. Big heavy hitters would be potentially Cynthia Nixon and Laura Linney, who are switching off roles in The Little Foxes, which is a revival of a Lillian Hellman play. But I really think that the momentum is behind Laurie Metcalf right now.
All right. We touched on musicals before. Your predictions for the 4/5 that we might see.
Yes, and I am going to get into that with some breaking Barbra Streisand.
Okay, good. I'm glad that I got into that because I was waiting for the moment. Breaking Barbra Streisand news.
So earlier, we were talking about Hello, Dolly, and mm-hmm. you mentioned, how did we not talk about Barbra Streisand being in the film of Hello, Dolly?
Mm-hmm.
And a reliable source of mine who's listening in on our discussion right now.
I wonder who that is.
He texted me to let me know that. So right now I sit in the Post newsroom on 47th Street and 6th Avenue in Manhattan.
Okay.
Three blocks away from me, over on 44th Street, Bette Midler is performing in Hello, Dolly at the Schubert.
Okay.
Then one block away, Barbra Streisand is watching Ben Platt in Dear Evan Hansen at the Music Box. So Barbra Streisand is one block away from Bette Midler watching a different Broadway show right now. And we're the only ones that know that. No one's reported that. You heard it here, folks.
So scandalous. So if you're listening from New York, head over and you can get a sighting of Barbra Streisand. That's pretty good. Breaking Barbra Streisand news.
I try to bring, something special every time we talk, Hannah.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So who are your predictions for musicals? Because that's where my true love is in Broadway musicals.
The nominees will be, so if there's four slots, it will be, the reliable shoo-ins are Dear Evan Hansen,
mm-hmm.
Come From Away.
Oh.
Those are guaranteed.
Okay.
And really, the award will be a horse race between those two shows. No one else can match that right now. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 with Josh Groban.
Mm-hmm.
Will be the third slot, and I say Groundhog Day will be the fourth.
That's very interesting, because of course that was based on the movie that was filmed in Woodstock with Bill
right.
Murray, also a Chicago actor. For sure you have to say actor when you talk about Bill Murray, because he has bridged so much beyond his comedic roots. So that's very interesting that you say Groundhog Day.
Actually, so tonight I was right before we got on the phone, I was doing a kind of funny story tonight at Groundhog Day. This isn't quite Barbra Streisand, but 100 people from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania are watching the show right now. And of those people, 15 of them are called the inner circle of the Groundhog Club. Those are the guys that wear the top hats and
top
the tuxedos.
Top hats and the vests, yes.
Right. And so I went to talk to them about it, and we took photos, and they're really funny guys.
Dressed in their February 2nd best?
Oh, you bet they did. And they were hot. Because it's nice. The weather here is nice. I was listening to the weather report in Chicago. I was so happy I'm not there.
I'm sure. I got sunburned on Monday. Sunburned. I was wearing a tank top by choice, and because it was appropriate. And now it is, I think, 30,
now you're facing 30, the consequences.
Yeah, it was 38 earlier today where I was.
Oh.
Yes. All right. Josh Groban, though, we haven't talked about the fact that he will be doing a performance, and that is big. Big.
Right. Well, he is. So I love that show. And I Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. I first saw it when it was, a 60 seat off Broadway theater. And then I saw it when it was a 200 seat off Broadway tent. And now it's on Broadway at the Imperial, and I think it has 12 or 1300 seats. So watching it grow that way has been really cool. However, if Josh Groban was not in that show, we would not currently be talking about that show.
That's how a lot of things happen. Sarah Bareilles in Waitress being one of them.
Right. But what I thought was so cool in the example of him, and he's really great. He is really an ensemble show. He has a couple big, cool songs, as Josh Groban must. But it's actually all about the group. You're always on. They're all on stage for the entire thing. And he is very humble in it. He, manages to ease into the group really well. Not be Josh Groban. And he put his Josh Groban power behind a really cool, innovative new show instead of just, saying, I'm going to do
Hamilton.
Yeah, right. So, which isn't to say that Hamilton is neither cool or innovative. It is, but he took a chance, a big chance. And he has so many fans. They make over 1 million every week.
That's phenomenal. And really an admirable choice for someone like a Josh Groban to throw that weight behind something that would not have necessarily made it without him.
Absolutely. And so the big question now is, so his role, like I said, it's not huge. So and the best actor field is really great. So we'll have Ben Platt, who Chicagoans will remember. So he's in Dear Evan Hansen now, giving an amazing performance. And everyone is figuring he'll win. But he, Chicagoans will remember him from originating the role of Elder Cunningham in The Book of Mormon. When that tour started in Chicago and played for, I think, well over a year.
Yes.
He was the best person to ever play that part, to my mind. He was better than Josh Gad. So he is now giving this, you know, a performance that is universally beloved. And then there is Andy Carl from Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
So he is sort of the contender. A bit of a dark horse. He's really cool. He tore his ACL 3 days before opening.
Ooh.
Could you imagine?
No.
And he, the night I was supposed to go, they canceled my tickets. You can't go see this show because he's not in it. Okay. But he managed to go on for opening night 3 days after tearing
his ACL.
3 days
after he tore his ACL?
And he wore a brace. And he got through it. And it was, I watched him on opening, and he was amazing. So he has some goodwill behind him.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. And that's what people love, that old Broadway spirit. Now, Josh Groban's role is tiny, but then, like we said, this is such a cool thing for such a big star to do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of goodwill around him on Broadway. So that might get him a nomination.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. We have so many other things to talk about and limited time because I'm very excited. Right after the 8 o'clock news, we have a guest coming up who is putting on her own one woman show. I'm sorry, over at Second City, Kay Wink, a show that she's written called Token, which is very exciting. So, Johnny, stick with us through the break, and you stick with us also. I will remind everybody, if you've just joined us, we're asking what you think is Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment. And let me give you that number. You can text those answers in or call in to 312-981-7200. We're getting a lot of really interesting comments on what everybody is considering biggest contribution that Chicago has made to theater and entertainment. A lot of great stuff we're going to talk about later. So get your vote in. More after this. Hannah Stanley filling in on the Saturday night special for Amy Guth and WGN.
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinkies, Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on the Saturday night special for Amy Guth. She'll be back with you guys next Saturday night. Joining me on the phone right now is Johnny Olesinski from the New York Post, former theater writer from our Chicago Tribune. That was, of course, Neil Patrick Harris. I believe it was 3 Tony Awards ago.
I just got chills listening to it.
I did too. I love that. And that, if you could not tell, was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda pre-Hamilton when he still had time for them to do the Tony Award productions. Very, very obvious. Tom and I were listening to that before the show, and he was like, you can totally tell he wrote that. That was a great opening number. That was, I think, my favorite ever.
I think it was the best ever.
Ever. When he's hanging on the edge of the Tony Award at the beginning. People, if you don't watch the Tony Awards, and let me tell you that they are coming up June 11th, that will be on CBS. It's a Sunday night. I might or might not be filling out a bracket prior to them. but it is, without question, the best production level of any of the award shows. It is.
It's really
phenomenal.
It's the only good one.
It is. Even if you don't watch, because I mean, I get up and get a beverage sometimes during some of the dramatic categories because I haven't seen them. But what is different is the people doing the productions during that show, during that broadcast, are used to staging those same productions every night. So while when we see the Oscars and they're staging things or doing musical performances, it's not the same because they have, you know, post editing and all this other stuff. The Tonys are used to doing these things live every night. So you're going to see a great performance.
Right. And they're also very different. You know, all these musicals, sometimes I think there's sort of a brassy stereotype of Broadway and show music. But maybe Hamilton opened some people's eyes into how different one musical can be from the next. Like Waitress is nothing like Hamilton. So you're going to get a lot of really diverse, cool shows this year. And right, they're top professionals, they're used to performing live. Sometimes musical performances at the Oscars are kind of shoddy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And the hosts as well, when they try to do musical numbers, it always just feels a little awkward, whereas it feels anything but awkward at the Tonys. You know, they're always entertaining.
Always entertaining, although I'm going to hold my breath during Kevin Spacey's opening number. He is a Tony winner. He is a Tony winner, but not for musicals. So we'll see.
I'm expecting him to like look at the camera like in House of Cards and have a monologue with the audience.
Break,
I bet 20 bucks says he does it.
I don't know. Oh, well,
oh,
probably.
I'm certain he'll do that.
Yeah, probably as a parody. I'm hoping he does something with verbal from Usual Suspects. Again, not where we're going. Broadway in Chicago has become a huge power here in the city, bringing a lot of shows, as you mentioned, Kinky Boots and the Producers, here to stage before they go to Broadway. But also, in the case of Hamilton or Cats, which played here for forever, Les Mis, Joseph, things that are brought from Broadway, where we get outstanding casts and stage it as if you're going to see it. And actually, in theaters that are more comfortable, because they're far more posh than the Broadway theaters.
Well, I have my disagreements on that because I think the Chicago the great thing about Chicago theaters is they have legitimate lobbies, right?
Yes,
so
yes, I love
if you go
that.
To the Cadillac Palace or the Oriental, you'll have real lobbies and you can go leave your seat. There are no lobbies on Broadway except that
the lobby is the street.
Right.
Yes.
The Lyric Theater has one, but that's enormous and crazy. But yeah, you have to go outside into the gross streets of Manhattan. but absolutely about you guys getting top-tier casts and top-tier productions. Like with Hamilton, with The Book of Mormon, with Billy Elliot a few years ago, you know, that was where these tours started. And they first start as sit-down productions, meaning we don't know when Hamilton will leave. It's all speculative. So they could stay for 7 years, they could stay for three, or even less. But at the moment, it's just playing Chicago. It's not like when these shows get to Kalamazoo eventually and they're going to be there for a weekend. You get them, they are made for the people of Chicago. And Lin-Manuel Miranda flew out and lived in Chicago, I think, for a month or two just to make sure it was in perfect shape. No one else really gets that treatment except London.
Right. And London, people are freaking out about the Hamilton prices.
Right, they are. So I was just there, and I think a lot of people are going to London at the moment because of the exchange rate being so great for us. So I could have sat front row to see the legendary actress Imelda Staunton in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf for £55, and that would be maybe $70, right?
Yeah.
So Hamilton right now, the top ticket for Hamilton on Broadway, so those premium seats, $895 for one
ticket.
And one ticket.
Possibly a matinee. We don't know.
Exactly. So the Hamilton prices in New York, the top ticket is £200. So maybe $250, $275. And they're freaking out because London tickets very rarely get that expensive. And so when I was there, I'm told they have a huge advance. People are, you know, buying tickets like crazy. But a lot of my friends would ask me if it was worth it, which is hilarious because no one in America asked me if it's worth it.
No, of course not. And well, but in Britain, they have a very different perspective because these are the people that, like, you know, fought the revolution. So they're coming at it from a different angle. They're not happy with how it turned out. You also saw Harry Potter when you were in London, and I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Oh, it's perfect. It's just perfect. It's 6 hours of your day. So I went. I took my sister. She is forever grateful. And we got there for, you know, a 2 p.m. matinee, and then came back at 7:30 for the second part. But it's really the sort of stage magic that they're doing. It's never been done before, and you worry. When I read it, I thought the sure. script was bad, and arguably, you know, it's not perfect. It sort of sets. It needs to be seen to be enjoyed.
Okay.
And it is very moving in practice as well. Like the father-son stuff is between, because now Harry is an adult and he has his son Albus, and it kind of mm-hmm. continues from the last chapter of the book. And he goes on his own adventures and all that. But it's really amazing. It's the director of Once. So if you kind of remember the musical magic of Once.
You're the only one who remembers that. Is it coming to the States?
It is. It's opening on Broadway in spring 2018 at the Lyric Theater. So the Lyric Theater is the one I told you about.
Yes, with the actual lobby.
Because it was two or three theaters combined. So it used to be smaller theaters, and then a Canadian impresario who was later arrested named Garth Drabinsky. He made this big, enormous Broadway complex, and that's where Ragtime premiered okay. in 98. And so now it's going to be like Harry Potter land. They're going to have their own. So on 43rd Street, there's no other Broadway theater. So it's just going to be like Harry Potter Street.
I want to go to there.
And Oh, you got to.
I believe it's called Diagon Alley. We've got 10 more seconds. Tell me the show in Chicago right now, not Hamilton, that people must see.
Go see Linda Vista at Steppenwolf.
All right. That is what we needed. Johnny Olesinski, entertainment writer for the New York Post, friend of Hannah. You can follow him on Twitter. And I always give this out first because I made it up. It's at Johnny OMG. But you can find him and read all of his great articles in the New York Post. Johnny, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you. I'll talk to you later. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio. It is 8 o'clock. Here's David Jennings.
New York City.
Pardon me. Are you Aaron Burr, sir?
That depends. Who's asking?
Oh, well, sure. Sir, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir, I heard your name at Princeton. I was seeking an accelerated course of study. When I got sort of out of sorts with a buddy.
Isn't it
of
against
yours,
the rules if you speak
him.
Over Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Sir,
I think there's...
The financial...
Yeah, that's There's, like a law now.
It is.
But like, you know, who? I don't want to. It's not, we're doing it out of necessity.
We are, because I only have a certain amount of time and I have the coolest guest coming on. But I will tell an aside, my kids, when we were out in California, my phone, it plugged into the Bluetooth on the loaner and Hamilton pops up because, right, that's what happens on everybody's phone these days. My kids love Hamilton, 6 and 9, and they're like, play my shot, play my shot. I'm like, okay, let me make sure it's the clean stuff. So, 6 and 9, and they're begging to go see Hamilton. And I'm like, we will talk about theater ticket prices in a little while, kids, but you are not going to see Hamilton right now. I have been teasing the fact that I have the coolest guest in studio, and by golly, I do. Miss Kay Winks is joining me, and we are going to do a little bit of her Naperville to Indianapolis to Cleveland to Harvard to Moscow to here.
Yes, basically.
Okay. And this is wonderful because the theme of tonight's show, and by the way, Hannah Stanley filling in, I just went straight into Lin-Manuel Miranda. I didn't talk about me. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. Tonight's theme is the influence of Chicago theater on theater and entertainment. And I ask you, and I'm going to ask you both also, because Shane Smith is here, director of the play Token. We've been talking about what you think is Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment. And I love the fact that you have this global background on theater and your training, because you can really speak to this from a very different perspective. But mm-hmm. But first off, Kay, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course. Very excited to talk about your show, Token. That is a one-woman show that's going to be staged at Second City, at the Second City Training Center's Judy's Beat Lounge.
Right.
because it can never just be Second City. It's too big.
There has to be plenty of words after yes. Second City.
Many, many words. It's like a business card for a super educated person. But completely out of the blue, I ask you, if you're just going to go with your gut reaction, what would be Chicago's biggest influence, biggest contribution?
Oh, wow. The diversity of experiences here. I mean, people come to Chicago from all over the world. And it's like, it's a big city, but it's also in the middle of Illinois. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like small town meets big city. So the diversity of voices of, you know, for instance, me, Naperville. No, most people haven't heard of it. But,
right.
You know, you come to Chicago and it gives like the Midwestern experience real weight.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah, that's what I think.
All right. No, that's and I like that because you have had such involved and deep training throughout the world to come back and stage this production here.
Right.
That really it holds weight. As soon as I was learning your background, I was like, she's perfect to ask this question to. And I ask you listeners as well the same question, 312-981-7200. You can add your opinion on what Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment is. And then Tom and I will be talking about ours after the 8:30 news. Shane Smith, director of the new play Token. What do you think would be the biggest contribution? Let me actually turn your microphone on. That would help.
Hello.
Yes.
The biggest contribution. This just popped into my head because it was a very strong Chicago connection for me. I saw Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and
we were just talking about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen that show and someone had to drag me there because I'd heard of it and I'm like, who's afraid of what? I don't know. No, thank you. And so I went and saw it and I was just blown away. I mean, it was just like the best production I'd ever seen. It was, you know, 3 hours long. I'm like, how am I supposed to sit through this show that's 3 hours long? And that sort of, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Kansas, and I knew Chicago had a strong theater community. But seeing a transport like that, right, to Broadway was extremely powerful for me. And I knew that there was something here to be explored. I actually moved here from LA and have sort of rediscovered a love of Chicago theater since I've been here. So I think there's tremendous talent. There's tremendous opportunity. I love that it's a community that is embraced and encouraged. I love the theater community out here. I think there's so much that Chicago has to offer. In addition to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Of course. Of course. Now, Kay Winks, as I mentioned, you're sort of from here. Parents are still out in the DuPage County area. And I'm making a fist like these are my people. Woo-hoo. DuPage County represent. But tell us about Token, because this opens in 2.5 weeks.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Is it that soon?
Yeah.
OK, so Token is about my experiences being a token Black. Growing up, I was often the only Black girl or one of less than a handful of Black girls, Black people. And just growing up, most of my friends were white. Like, and I think it's a unique experience that people don't often, like, talk about or make jokes about.
Right.
And so I just wanted to share all of these hilarious experiences that I've had being that character.
South Park have a yes. character named Token,
yes.
who is the sole Black character on the show, or had been at least, mm-hmm. for a while. So when I saw the title, I was like, now that I know exactly what that is. I know what this is. Did you, in the press release, it says you are sharing your hilarious and often cringeworthy adventures. Does this include racism, or was it you were just happened to be the Black girl?
It definitely includes, I wouldn't necessarily say like overt racism, but sort of like colorblind racism, right?
Oh, okay.
Where people aren't really aware of how racist they sound. Like there is an intention behind the racism.
Right.
But it's really racist.
Okay. In comedy, I see this. We've talked about this where we grew up telling Polish jokes, Polak jokes.
Right.
We had no idea that they were inappropriate, insulting, racist. There, we had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then once we did, like around that fifth grade point, we were like, oh, yeah, we shouldn't say those. We shouldn't say those about any ethnicity. So there are things that you say not even knowing what you're saying.
Right.
Because you're a little kid.
Well, and some, and yes, yeah, so we have the little kid stories, but then I have the adult stories where people should know better.
Oh.
But because they don't, and they innocently don't know better, I poke fun at them pretty viciously. But.
In the show.
In the show. In
okay.
The show.
And in real life, yes, no?
No, in real life, I, what do I do in real life? Do I actually call them out on it? Yeah, I do call people out on it.
Good.
I definitely do. In nice ways.
Okay.
In a nice way.
All right.
Because you don't want to hurt.
No, but if you come to it from a place of trying to educate with love and caring and go, I like you. Let's fix this.
Right.
Because I don't want you to do this to other people who don't like you.
Exactly.
Because that would be bad.
Right.
Shane, what brought you to this project? What drew you to it?
Well, Kay and I met in a writing class, and she told me that she had a one-woman show, and I said I want to direct it, and that was literally it. I was just like, I don't know what, and I think I don't remember if you
just
told
wanted
me.
To direct it. I didn't even tell you what it was.
I think you probably did, but either way, I think I knew I was going to relate because we're, you know, I just related to her as a human being, and so I knew that I would love anything that she was writing, and it doesn't hurt that I, you know, that I empathize with this character very, very much so. I've often been a token many times. So it was the material. There was an opportunity for us to present it at a theater company where I work. And so it just kind of the stars all aligned, and it was a wonderful opportunity at Collab Action Theater Company. They were highlighting women's work. And so she did it and sent it, and we made it happen. It was amazing. So well received.
Awesome.
And it was beautiful.
Killed
and we
it.
Had to do it again. So,
as I mentioned, it's going to open. It's actually almost 3 weeks. I'll give you a little bit
Thank
more
you.
Time.
You're welcome. Like, wait, where? What?
Yeah, no. It almost 3 weeks. 3 weeks from yesterday, it opens May 19th. And tickets are incredibly affordable.
Yes.
And I cannot wait until this starts. I have to come see this. I am going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk more about the one-woman show called Token, which you can find at the Second City Training Center's Judy's Beat Lounge. Ta-da!
You got it.
Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on Saturday Night Special for Amy Guth on WGN.
But recently, my token black friend invited me to his birthday party on this party bus headed to this club. Now, I normally like to avoid partying with large groups of intoxicated urban black people, because I have no desire to get shot, pregnant, or arrested. But I made an exception this time, because I was in dire need of black friends, and the guy who invited me had abs like Tyson Beckford circa 95, so I had to be there.
Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on the Saturday Night Special, filling in for Amy Guth, who will be back with you guys next Saturday. Before we return you guys to Kay Winks, who is in with us, whose voice you just heard in her one-woman show Token, let's go to the phones. We have Joe from Aurora. Joe, you're answering my question. What do you feel is the biggest contribution Chicago has made in theater and entertainment?
I think one of the biggest things is just the sheer volume, whether it's community theater, storefront theater, educational theater. There are so many opportunities for people to see anything and everything, whether it be new products or the big time, you know, the big stage shows. I just think there's so much out there that people can get exposed to.
Yeah, I think that goes back to what Kay's contribution was as well. And really, to your point, there are over 200 theaters in the Chicagoland area. So you, on any given night, you can take your pick. And Joe, did you have a question for Kay as well?
I was curious where she went to high school.
Oh, that's funny. I asked the same question.
It's funny because I actually went to high school in a suburb of Cleveland. My dad, his job moved around a lot. So I lived in Cleveland, in Indianapolis, Michigan. We moved around a bit once I got older.
Okay. The reason I was asking was I was the technical director at St. Naperville Central High School. And your name seems familiar, like maybe you performed there or something with one of the groups that was in my space.
For one semester, I was at Plainfield High, but that was
okay.
A couple months.
All right. Joe, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. All right. So Token opens on May 19th, which is almost 3 weeks. And that's going to be essentially at Second City. It's Second City Training Center at the Judy's Beat Lounge. And it's going to be staged on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are only $13.
Only 13 bucks.
That's a crazy value.
Yes. Right. And if you're a student, they're only 11.
Like any student?
Any student. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
I need to start going to school again to save those $2. Right? I need to spend hundreds on tuition to save money on theater. This is really fantastic. And the other thing is it's 60 minutes.
Right.
It's quick.
In and out. It's quick.
That's you can
get
still
you
do other
and get
things.
You leaving.
Yeah. A Friday night, you're done by 8:30.
Yes.
People, this is a show you need to see.
Absolutely. And it's hilarious, of course.
Well learned.
Hello. Yes.
Here is very good, exciting information. While we were in the break, I asked our nice friends, Kay and Shane, if they would be so kind. And we are going to give away a pair of tickets to go see this show, Token. What do you want to do? What caller? What caller, Tom? 312-981-7200.
Let's do caller. I like the number 7.
Done. 7. Caller number 7 wins a pair of tickets to go see Token, directed by Shane Smith and starring, it is a one-woman show, Kay Winks, and it's going to be those a few Fridays, Friday, May 19th through June 9th. Callers are lining up. Thank you very much. And while you're on the line, please tell us what you feel Chicago's greatest contribution is to theater and entertainment. Kay, I wanted to talk to you because I did allude a little bit to your vast training mm-hmm. in the theater arts. Mm-hmm. This is a comedy, but you have dramatic training as well.
Most of my training is dramatic, yes. This is actually the first true comedy that I've done.
And what drew you to do comedy when all of your training has been dramatic? Because those are very different spaces.
Totally different sides of the brain, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because everyone's always told me that I'm funny.
She's funny. I'm like, that's it. She's funny.
Don't walk away from the funny.
Yeah, so my whole life people have thought I was funny, and I was a class clown. And eventually I was like, okay, I'm not really – I haven't been working a whole lot. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write a show for myself that's about something that I think is – funny and other people will find funny and be able to relate to.
I feel like if people are at home playing a drinking game for every time I say Lin-Manuel Miranda, there are some really drunk people. But that's what he did with Hamilton.
Exactly.
He wrote that role so he had and his friends had something to play.
Right. Exactly.
So you wrote a play for you to have work.
Exactly.
This seems to be the going trend.
It's something that I think every artist needs to do at some point is to write something for themselves.
This is inherently, though, about yourself.
Yes, and that was originally scary because yes. As an actor, I don't want to be myself. I want to be
You spend
everyone
your life
else.
Learning to not be yourself.
Exactly. So it was definitely scary when the original version of the script, I was going to play a character that was like myself, and Shane was like, no, you need to be...
Just own it.
You need to be Kay Winks. Don't, you know, who is this Beth or whoever, whatever character I made up, name I made up. She's like, no, this is your story. You should. These are your stories. You have to be yourself. And I was like, what? No, the mask has to be removed. And... here we are.
Now, as a director, Shane, when you had her make that transition from character into herself being the character, where did you see the difference?
Well, we actually did it before the first rehearsal. It was on paper. So I and then it slowly I had to sort of kind of peel away her idea of the character and get her more closer to herself.
To be myself, right?
Yeah. And that was, so it was, it just took like a couple of rehearsals to kind of like get
my
back to
voice.
Kay
yeah.
into her authentic voice. And so that took a little bit, but it was on paper. I mean, she had a different character name on paper and I was like, who's this person? I've never met her before. I know these stories.
Who is Joellen? But I know Joellen.
I know
exactly.
All these stories, but she's not, I don't know who this person is. Like, we need Kay. Oh my God. She's, you know, she's so talented and she's, you know, she's enough for this show. I mean, more than enough. She is the show. So.
Oh, thanks, Shane.
Yeah.
Where does this go beyond? Is it staging other places or do we need to see it here?
I mean, of course, you need to see it here.
Obviously.
You have to see it in Chicago, yes. The great city of Chicago, at the great Second City Training Center.
Yes.
But we're going to go to New York City in September because it's going to be going to United Solo Theater Festival, which is the largest solo theater festival in the world. Mm-hmm. So we got into that, and then that's going to be...
That's big.
That's big. Yeah, yeah, that's exciting.
This goes back to what we were talking about, Johnny Olesinski, who I will introduce you to when you go to the theater festival.
Awesome.
He's a writer for the New York Post and very knowledgeable about theater. I think he has seen everything that's currently on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Or slightly off. That's what he does. He goes to sometimes 2-3 plays in a day. But... we were talking about what a training ground Chicago is, mm-hmm. for productions like this to then move on to a broader, more public area. I know that Chicago, you're getting possibly bigger audiences. It doesn't have the cachet necessarily, mm-hmm. that New York does.
Right.
Which is a little annoying.
But, I mean...
it goes back to Second City. I mean, not the training center. They're fabulous.
Right.
But the whole moniker, Second City.
Right.
In that we feel a little bit like the little stepbrother.
You know, and yeah. I mean, yeah, but... I mean, this is going to be bad, but I like Chicago better than New York City.
So do I.
I mean, come on.
Well, there you go.
Everybody's talking like we're whispering, like right. Nobody's listening. WGN Radio.
New York can't hear.
Yeah, New York cannot hear. Johnny's probably listening online. God love him. But this is, I'm always fascinated by the process where you're going to sit there and say, this is something I want to put out there and give myself work. Right. Create a project where I can do this. And then that evolution, because this is very personal and very intimate. These stories, do you, as an actress, you're used to getting notes from your director. Mm-hmm. When you're getting notes from your director, from Shane, and you're like, you weren't there. You were not there. That is not how this happened.
Oh, yeah.
So where are you able to be the artist versus the human that lived this?
Shane is an excellent director because at no point her feedback was always so valuable and valid that I never felt like, I'm having difficulty with these notes or anything. I was able to see her note and be like, oh, she's making this better. Like, I wouldn't have even, she brought an eye to the show that I didn't have.
Because she wasn't there.
Because she wasn't
there.
So
she was impartial.
Right. So she was impartial and a genius. And I was just like, wow, you saw that and I didn't even see it and I was there.
Now, as a dramatic performer,
yes,
as a dramatic artist and one who has been trained in that, mm-hmm. you have said that people always told you that you were funny, but that doesn't necessarily, that's not the reason you went to improv training. And of course, you chose to come to Second City for improv training because it's the best.
Right.
But why all of a sudden did you go, I've already learned this. Let's go be funny now.
Because it was something that my training has always been about being an all-around artist, dancing and singing and taking every possible acting class I could so that I could be a versatile artist. So if somebody asked me, oh, do you improvise? Yes, absolutely, I do that. Do you dance? Oh, yes, I dance. Mm-hmm. Do you sing? Oh. So that was offbeat. You guys didn't hear that.
A little pinchy, yeah.
So improv. So I had never done it. So... I was like, I have to do this so that I have this in my repertoire and I have to hone the skill of comedy. It's one thing, like you said, to just be funny, but I want to be a trained funny person.
Right.
So that I was a professional funny person.
So you can do it better and more effectively.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. And improv really plays into so many things. And we're actually going to talk about this after the news because Second City and Kelly Leonard, who is one of the main guys at Second City, does a podcast here, Getting to Yes And, mm-hmm. Or Getting Beyond Yes And. And we'll talk about that. But how often improv can play a part in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Helping people, adults and kids with anxiety because it forces them to live in the now. It's just very interesting because you don't see a ton of people who do such deep studies in all of these different areas.
Right.
Who is our winner, Tom?
Sorry. There's a lot of buttons I have to press.
Tom was busy doing things.
I was taking notes.
Yes.
But our winner is Stacey Stone.
Stacey Stone will be going to see Kay Winks' new one-woman play called Token, which is going to be staged at the Second City Training Center's Judy's Beat Lounge. It's not the words, it's the apostrophes. There are so many apostrophes in that. And that is going to be staged on Fridays, May 19th to June 9th. It is 60 minutes, people. So if you're like, I have an hour to kill until we get our dinner reservation, run over, go see Token, and then head on down the street to wherever you're going. Start laughing.
Super easy.
Get your evening going. And tickets are $13.
Yes, at secondcity.com. Kay and it'll also be a good talking point during dinner as well. This is definitely going to elicit some conversation.
Oh, for sure.
And if you have Token friends, take them. You can have this conversation.
Yes.
You can figure out your wrongs.
Your black friend.
bring your black friend. Exactly. Or your Asian friend. Or your Indian
or
friend.
Or your Indian friend.
Right. Shane or Smith, Latina director, friend. And Kay Winks, star, creator, writer, etc. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Hannah Stanley, filling in tonight. For Who Is She? Amy Guth. This is the Saturday Night Special on WGN. And I want to tell you that this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I'm going to turn you over to the news with David Jennings.
They say times are hard for dreamers, and who knows, maybe they are. People seem stuck or lost at sea. And I might be a dreamer, but it's gotten me this far, and that is far enough for me.
Look out, my Hannah window, Stanley, filling in tonight on the Saturday Night Special for Amy Guth, who is missed, but she will be back with you guys next Saturday, along with Tom Hush, esteemed producer. Esteemed producer.
I'm so glad that I can add that to my resume.
Esteemed producer?
Yes.
Yes.
And Amy was the first one to give me that title, so.
I don't want to tell you that she's called other producers that.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
How dare she?
We're going to have a conversation this week, her and I.
I don't blame you. I am very excited to see the show Token. I'm happy that the ladies came in. How nice. Really interesting also, and something we actually didn't touch on, is women in the Chicago theater scene.
Mm-hmm.
Really important, but a lot of very famous women have come out of the Chicago theater scene, especially in the comedy space.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. So I will ask this again, and then we are going to talk about everyone's contributions in our final segment in a little bit. So get your ideas and opinions in on what is or what has been Chicago's greatest contribution to theater and entertainment. And the number, which you can text those into, 312-981-7200. Joe from Aurora called earlier. You can call in as well. And he was saying just the vast variety is such a big contribution. And I agree. That's not my choice, but I absolutely feel he has a valid point.
Yeah, especially he mentioned to me on the phone that there were a lot of small places that you can go see theater. And I would add to that, like, non-traditional places. There were points when I moved here early on, like 4 years ago, where I would go see plays in like old like churches or schools and stuff, and they would be putting on proper like productions, and they were really good and really interesting. So you never know what you're going to find.
Where you're able to see actors and actresses and writers putting on their own work, or things that wouldn't necessarily play to as big of an audience, where it might be challenging to get funding and staging. But we have the spaces here, and they can put something on for a week or one performance or whatever it might be. A couple of names of theaters pop into my mind as far as smaller stages that are doing really important work, but Looking Glass would be one of them. Victory Garden Theater, which I was trying to get some information from one of their board members who happens to be in India, Anupi Singla. You guys would know her. She's been on the show with me before, and she was a former CLTV reporter. But she always keeps me informed of what is happening at Victory Garden. Currently, there is a production called Queen, which is about bees.
A play? Is it a musical or a play?
It's a play.
A play about bees.
Yes.
I like it.
I know.
I like think... it. I'm allergic to bees, though. Can I go see it? That's what I want.
I would assume that they haven't actually stage trained the bees, okay. And it's more mimed.
Mimed. Okay.
If that would be the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of really, really good stuff. I think I said, was it the humans? Did I say humans was coming to Victory Gardens? I can't remember. So do we want to talk about our beliefs of the contributions, or do we want to save that for the last? This is producing on the fly.
I'm ready. I don't know. I'm ready to go right now. I've been thinking about it, and I have my idea.
All right. We have more articles and stuff in front of me about one particular topic than I can possibly fit into the remaining 19 minutes of shows. I do want to talk about this article. Best Things Illinois ranked the top 10 best live theater venues. And I take issue with one of them. Number one being the Second City. Number two, the Arcata Theater out in St. Charles. Number three, the Chopin Theater. Do you know where that is?
I do not, honestly. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, it says it is a pillar in the Chicago community, but I really don't know where it is. It was built in 1918 and features two stages. The Black Ensemble Theater, and I have to tell you, I have interviewed the founder, Jackie Taylor. The productions they put on and what they have brought to the community, they're now in, I think, their third space. Really, really powerful. And things that when I was interviewing her, I was like, I cannot wait to see this. Black writers, black artists, just really, really very integral in that community, and was founded in 1976. So it has been around.
Yeah. And just completely representing the voices since then. I mean, that's fantastic. And even in today, when we still talk about representation in media and in entertainment, it's good to know that there are people out there that are still doing this and still fighting that fight.
Still doing it and doing productions on Sammy Davis Jr. is one of the productions from this year, a production on him. So even a deeper level of a black entertainer doing a play about him. The Athenaeum Theater, which is fantastic, the Athenaeum. And I believe that's where the Jeff Awards are going to be held in a few weeks. Cornstalk Theater down in Peoria. Number nine is the Rialto Square Theater. Could not be more gorgeous. That is a lovely, lovely place. And number 10 is the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. Here's my problem. I don't have a problem with anything on the list.
Oh.
So I have a problem with what is off the list.
Give it to me.
Second City.
It's not on there?
It's not on there. And this is not because Kay was just in here and Shane, who are putting their... and Second City has like 4,200 stages, right? Mm-hmm. There's like everything's going on. You can walk in there with no plans and make an entire day of it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And but as far as live theater, there's always something happening there. And it really, I was very... I wasn't frustrated. I was just in disbelief that Second City was not listed.
Maybe they were like trying to classify it as a different... thing, because all the venue. Yeah, what you were listing there were all very what we traditionally think of as a performing arts, like the Chicago theater, like, or
more like a production.
Yeah, like when people think theater, they would think of something like this. Second City is theater in a but in a different sense, and maybe they're putting it in its own category, but still it should be on there.
Arcata does mostly concerts.
Really?
Yeah, that's very I don't know that they do. Although I did see, we were talking about Bronx Tale, I saw Chaz Palminteri do Bronx Tale as a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him do it there twice, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but those were like one-time things.
Yeah.
Except for twice.
Except for those two times.
Oh, golly.
Twice in a blue moon, that's the saying?
But I kid. Yes. By the way, we're going to talk about this because, as I mentioned, Second City, my belief for Chicago's biggest contribution to the entertainment industry is improv.
I think that's pretty much the strongest choice. I think that would be a lot of people's choice.
I would hope. Okay, now, and 773, thank you very much. The Chopin Theater in Chicago is on Division just east of Ashland.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Thank Gotta you visit so much. It. Thank you, Chopin Theater texter to 312. I was going to give out his number or hers. 312-981-7200. We are still taking contributions. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about this for like a minute and then take a quick break and then come back. Improv, in my opinion, far and away. And I am not alone because Chicago gets the last laugh as funniest city in the United States, says a University of Colorado Boulder study. And you know why they know?
I hear they have a specific science.
A humor research lab. There is a humor research lab that developed an algorithm to decide or establish which cities were the funniest. Chicago came in as number one. Do you want me to go through the rest or do we not care?
I want to hear the top five.
Top five, Chicago. Number two, Boston.
Okay. There's a lot of comedians.
That's just because of how funny they talk.
Yeah.
All right. Number three is Atlanta. Number four, Washington, D.C.
It is I hear all the clowns are in Washington, D.C.
Because of the politics, yes.
Yeah.
And number five, so Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and number five blew me away. I did not think about this ever. Portland, Oregon.
It's a funny place.
Is it?
I mean, granted, I've really only – have you ever seen the show Portlandia?
Yes.
So it seems like it would be kind of a funny place. They have an odd sense of humor. It would strike me. Like, it would be an odd place, and there would be funny people there.
All right. So New York doesn't come in until number six.
Boom.
And L.A. is number seven.
There's nothing funny about L.A. It's too
serious. No. Denver is number eight. Well, I feel like they're all trying to get into television or movies.
Yeah.
I'll just go through the top 10. Eight is is Denver. San Francisco's number nine, and 10 is Seattle. What's interesting about this study is that they found humor often has local flavor. So jokes that play big in Denver don't necessarily make a difference in New York.
Right. And I can expect that, you know, everywhere's a little culturally different, but it makes you wonder is Chicago just the broadest comedy place? 'Cause you get massive comedians coming out of Chicago that everybody loves.
Right.
Like there's something about Chicago that the sense of humor just plays well to pretty much everybody.
And a lot of comedy specials are recorded here.
That is true.
We talked about Mulaney, but he's from here, John Mulaney. But I've been to multiple tapings of Jim Gaffigan comedy specials. Many, many have been done here, like at the Vic, all over. So my vote is improv/comedy.
A solid vote.
All right. We are going to come back. You have time to get your vote in. 312-981-7200 for what Chicago's biggest contribution to theater and entertainment has been in the history of Chicago. 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on the Saturday Night Special for Amy Guth. More on WGN after this. Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. It is the Saturday Night Special on WGN. Boy, what a fun 2 hours this has been. It has gone very, very quickly. Esteemed producer Tom Hush and I hanging out, talking about Chicago's contribution to entertainment and theater. You guys have been so great texting in for the past almost 2 hours now about what you feel is the biggest contribution. Joe from Aurora, of course, called earlier and said the breadth of variety here is what he feels is the biggest contribution. And I agree, because it allows so many people to have a voice, to workshop, to be seen and be heard and be understood.
Yeah, and I really love what Kay said about the diversity, because we do live in a very diverse city, and there's so many, and it kind of goes with what Joe said, with the number of venues plus the number of different people who are trying to do this thing, the possibilities are endless.
Really, absolutely. But it always feels kind of overwhelming when you're trying to go, okay, I'm going to do this and make a difference. Yeah. But here you're able to.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And I don't know specifically if there's as many opportunities in New York. Maybe there are. But it feels like here, because this is such a training ground, not just for comedic actors, but also for really workshopping plays before they go to bigger stages in New York, et cetera. It seems like there are a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, it's honestly, I can say that I haven't been to New York, so I don't want to put too much of a stamp on it, but there can't be any place like Chicago for theater. I've seen so many great productions here in Chicago, and it's just like, can anything match it? I guess I'll have to go to New York and
it
find out.
It doesn't necessarily need to match it, but, well, okay, let me rephrase that. It can match it because we have really kind of the best of New York comes here, because if it has a touring company, we're going to get it.
Oh, for sure.
So we don't need to necessarily go to New York. We just have to wait 6 or 12 months.
Which I can do.
Yes.
I can wait that long.
And the prices are lower here.
Yes.
They're still not great. And tickets like Hamilton, still hard to come by.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, Book of Mormon was here for over a year.
Yes.
Cats was here for a decade and a half. Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we get multiple productions, Phantom of the Opera, et cetera. We get the shows we want to get.
Exactly. It is a good theater town. It is a good place to be a theater fan.
Yes. And Johnny, what was Johnny's contribution that he felt?
You know,
it was very similar.
A lot of it had to do with the talent and with the fact that this is a breeding ground for talent. That they eventually go on to LA if they're going to go into film or TV or whatever, or they'll go over to Broadway. But a lot of people start here. And you and I brainstormed.
We came up with a list in about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And here is a sampling of those that we came up with that started here. John and Jim Belushi, Tina Fey, Chris Farley, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Bill Murray, Brian Doyle Murray, Steve Carell, Harold Ramis, John Mulaney, John Mulrooney, right, from... yes. Bonnie Hunt, Jason Sudeikis, Tim Kazurinsky, Tim Meadows, Dan Aykroyd, Alan Arkin, Peter Boyle, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, John Candy, Shelley Long, Jen Malkovich, Gary Sinise, Gary Cole, Laurie Metcalf, John C. Reilly, Jeff Garland, who I just saw at Zany's. He was in town for like a week. I think he slept here a night or two because he was on every show here. Jeff Garland, the Cusacks, at Jeremy Piven. The list goes on and on and on. And then Johnny Olesinski, of course, mentioned so many more. That's just in the Broadway theater space.
Right. And it's anywhere you go, you could be meeting the next big thing. Go to see any of these small plays, small musicals, whatever. You could be meeting the next, you know, John Jim Belushi. You could be meeting the next Laurie Metcalf. You know.
Well, and they were doing productions at College of DuPage.
The
Belushi brothers. Yes. So obviously, you know, you didn't know then what they were to become. I remember seeing Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch, who I didn't even put on that list, at Second City doing a sketch that they then took to Saturday Night Live.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. Like the moment of when you see them you go to see a show. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, you turn on the TV.
And you see the same show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I was like, I've seen this. I know how this sketch goes.
Yeah.
But huge contributions that this city has made as far as talent. However, what is your belief?
Well, you did mention him specifically. Mm-hmm. And this is just a personal belief. This is about my formative, you know, comedy viewing experience. And I would say it was Stephen Colbert. Now
he's the biggest contribution
for me. I think he is one of the biggest contributions to comedy to come out of Chicago. Just one of the biggest contributions to comedy of the last, you know, 10 years, because being, you know, being on the younger side and watching the Colbert Report through the Bush years and going through all that, it really, he taught everybody the subtle art of satire, and he was so funny and he was so perfect at satirizing, you know, talking heads, whether, you know, specifically he aimed at the right of the political spectrum.
Well, his character.
Yeah, his character did. He was doing a Bill O'Reilly-esque sort of character, but he kind of took the whole political process and turned it into a little bit of a game to point out all of our prejudices and how mean we can be to each other, when in reality, all you need to do is just listen and have an open heart, because really Stephen Colbert, that's who he is. He's an incredibly kind and open-hearted person who doesn't want to hurt or be mean to anybody. He just put on this character to make everyone realize something about themselves. And he did it through comedy. And I think that's one of the best things you can do with comedy, is help people realize something about themselves or about society. So for me, Stephen Colbert is the top of that list.
Yeah, so many people texted in over the past 2 hours, and comedy and improv were always right up there at the top.
Yeah, funniest city in America, possibly
according
in the world.
According to the Humor Research Lab at the University of Colorado.
We have scientists on this. Trust us. We ran the numbers. We saw the graphs. It's the funniest.
We did.
It's, you know, that's, I'm still blown away that they have a scientific metric for humor, but I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, they've got... pot is legal out there, so yeah. I don't know that it was as hard to sell a humor research lab
probably
in
not.
The University of Colorado. Hey, you guys, the gentlemen.
Oh, you're kidding me.
The gentlemen of Sound Sessions have just walked in. I didn't know you guys were filling in tonight. This is so cool.
This Hi, Hannah. Cool.
Hi. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You. I got to see you guys on one of my last shows in this time slot. Mm-hmm. And then now I get to see you when I get my first time back in this time slot. That's exciting.
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
Oh, that was nice.
You did the Podities.
I did Podities.
One That's of our first right. on-air appearances, actually, ever.
I know. I've birthed your success, in my opinion.
Thanks, Mom.
You know, that is not an insult from you, too. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. You guys have gone on to great things. What is on the show?
I guess first and foremost, it's Burger Month coming up. National Burger Month is May. So we're gonna get into, you know, some of the best burgers in Chicagoland.
Yeah, it's the only national monthly holiday that I truly celebrate.
Yeah,
it's the National Burger Month. So that's gonna be great. Going some of the best burgers in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will contribute my vote for this. Multiple years ago, I was down at South Beach for their wine and food festival. Jeff Morrow, Chicago guy,
yeah,
runs Pork and Mindy's now. And mm-hmm. that's now, by the way, at your local Jewels.
I know.
The Jewels, you can get Pork and Mindy, Pork and Mindy's. But he made a burger that, it's Burger Bash. It's the Friday night and you walk around and there's all these crazy.
Sounds amazing.
It's amazing. And it is the biggest crazy waste of food ever. Because there's, like, let's say 40 chefs, and they're all making burgers. Mm-hmm. And even if they're bite-sized, that's still 40 bites of
that's
burgers.
Insane.
So you get to the point where you take, like, the tiniest bite ever, and then you throw it away. And I'm, like, mortified that was happening. But Jeff Morrow, the best burger.
He's like the sandwich king, isn't he?
He's the sandwich king.
Yeah.
And burgers would technically be a sandwich.
What did he do to make the burger so good?
It's a secret.
Okay.
No, he actually did tell me, and I've since forgotten, but I'll text him and we'll find it out.
Secret sauce or something.
It was a mix of the meats.
See, yes, there's something to that.
You've got to season the meat and mix the meat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking burgers at length.
That's exciting.
Well, we also have the burgers. We have. Did you see the news about that festival that just went to debauchery?
The fire festival.
The fire festival.
Can I tell you that all of today I thought it was the Fry Festival, like the boots people.
Yeah, it's spelled FYRE.
I know. I was like, why did they get involved? Why wouldn't they have done it well? But it's the fire festival that was really designed to be for these. You know, millennial rich kids.
Yeah, it was like $12,000 a ticket, and then all of a sudden you get there and they give you like two pieces of bread and a slice of cheese.
And they didn't even have a tent set up. It was terrible.
Nothing. Bands dropped out. So we have Haima Black from Dynasty Podcast, and he runs a lot of like how to create a successful festival. He actually just did that a few days ago. So we have him on to talk about, you know, how to make it.
If they had only sought his guidance.
This all could have been avoided.
Right?
You guys... Let me take 10 more seconds to thank people.
Sure.
Yes. I want to thank the guests for today, Johnny Olesinski, Kay Winks, and Shane Smith, who were on with me today, everyone who texted in. And also follow me, if you will, on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at @ThatHannahStanley. And I will formally invite you guys as well. I'm going to be at Zany's in Rosemont on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, you're doing that a lot lately.
I'm doing what I can. Yeah,
awesome.
I'm very fortunate. Thank you. It is the Tuesday 10. It is 10 comedians for $10.
Oh, my deal.
What a great deal.
I know. Even if one of them is super funny, totally have your money. You got your money. Right. It's paid yeah. for. And then also, this is more in your scene. May 16th, I will be part of a show at Zany's in Old Town called Snapshots.
Awesome. So, right. That's right by us.
Yes. So please come over.
I'm in.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Do you want me to do
You go news? For it.
I will
Take
read
it.
The news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio. And here is David Jennings.